Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. Some of you listening in other parts of the world, maybe Sunday morning or Sunday evening. But I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ, the Life and Message. And I'm grateful once again that we have been given this opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Canada and Spain. Welcome to the Netherlands. And welcome to the United Kingdom. I haven't forgotten you. And to every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, we will pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, we'll do our best in the Lord to answer it. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes out of respect to the duration of the broadcast. And for those of you who say, I do have questions, I do have prayer requests, but I don't want to do it over the air, contact me at www.NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. www.NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will do my best to get back to you on your prayer requests or your questions. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I thank the Lord for another blessed day. And here in the United States where I'm at now, it is Saturday. And for those of you that follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, you know that Saturdays is the Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee. And so as we await for my brother to come on to head this off, I want to take this opportunity to go into prayer today. And I want to pray for that someone who's having trouble on their job, where the enemy has started contention or strife or backbiting, you know, in your midst, and it has disturbed you. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ that the peace of God may surround you and that the Lord may protect and keep you. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for another opportunity to come to petition you in prayer. And Lord God, I want to pray for that particular person who is encountering trouble on his or her job, who's encountering backbiting, gossip, deception, discrimination, you name it, all the works of the enemy and the flesh. Dear Lord, I pray for them, Lord God, that you would keep them in your perfect peace. I pray that they would see your hand of protection over them to keep and preserve them from these work of evil. Father, I pray that they would learn to submit to you the more, that they may be used as a light in that mist. So, dear Lord, I come against every demonic force Satan has sent out to stir up this contention, this backbiting, this gossip, this strife. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. The Lord rebukes you, Satan, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over and against you. I plead the blood of Jesus against you this day. In Jesus' almighty name. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to petition you in prayer on the behalf of him or her that is encountering this situation on their job. I pray that they would see a change, that they may give you glory and honor, that they may praise you and lift you up in Jesus' name. I bind every force of evil, every satanic messenger, every satanic cohort in Jesus' name. I come against it right now and plead the blood against you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory be to God. So I wanted to offer up that prayer once again on the behalf of whoever is listening, man or woman, who is encountering this type of contention and strife on your job. Amen. I pray on your behalf, especially if you are a born-again believer, because the Lord wants to deliver you out of this mist. And, you know, we live in a world today that on our jobs, you're going to encounter that. You're going to have that around you in the midst, but it doesn't have to take you. Let us understand that it doesn't have to take you. And many times what you have to do is start praying before you go to work. Start binding the forces of evil, binding the spirits that is influencing gossip and backbiting and contentious. You need to start doing it in the mornings before you go to work. Amen. I believe that as Christians, that's one of the part of the day that we forget is how that we need to pray before we go to work. Start binding the forces of evil, because for the most part on our job, we have all these different types of personalities. And we're dealing with or working around people who have not accepted Christ. Therefore, they are still fully operational in the sin nature. Okay? And we know on this job that so much stuff is going on that is giving Satan a foothold to operate on these jobs. So therefore, we have to, before we go to work, pray and bind the forces of evil, okay? Because we're living in the time now for you to accomplish, especially the work of the Lord and to do what you need to do, is not going to be by natural strength per se. You're going to have the authority of Jesus against demonic spirits. You're going to have that, people, because it's serious. It, you know, it's not a joke. It's not a game. The devil is real. Satan is real. His demon cohorts, you name it, all of them, his imps, they are real, okay? And just because you don't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. And they are influencing man. They are doing things, even on our jobs, okay? They are there. And they are here on this earth. And they have a right to be here until Adam's lease is up, okay? Until his lease is up. So as believers, you're going to have to deal with the devil on this earth, okay? As long as you are here on this earth, you're going to have to deal with the devil, okay? So this is not a time for us to give up or to give in to the enemy. But this is a time for us to rise up and be about our Father's business. Rise up and come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. This is the time, people. This is the time. We don't need to give in to the enemy, okay? Yes, the devil is doing this stuff, okay? Yes, he's lurking here and lurking there. He's causing this problem, that problem, okay? Yes, he's doing that, but his power is not greater than the power of Jesus Christ. And we need to start exalting Jesus' power more instead of exalting the power of the devil. You know, you got some people who talk concerning the devil so much and exalting him and talking about how great he is and how great are things he's doing. And don't get me wrong, the devil has some power, but his some power is not greater than the power of Jesus Christ. And we got to start lifting up and elevating the power of Jesus Christ over lifting up the power of the enemy. Amen. Glory be to God. So I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Shalom, Mashiach. Amiska. Great day. Go ahead. Finish your statement, brother. God bless you.
Well, brother, I'm just telling the people we have to lift up the name of Jesus and lift up his power, then continually lifting up the power of the enemy. And we have to rise up and come against him, the enemy, and quit walking in defeat when the Lord has given us the victory. Amen. I am, hallelujah, seeing it even more, because we keep elevating the devil. He ain't going to stop pounding on your head. He going to pound on your head the most. we keep elevating.
Yeah.
It's not like if you elevate the devil, like he going to stop messing with you. he going to do it the more.
Yeah, that's true. Quite true. Hello, everybody. This is, I count it a joy and a blessing and a privilege to meet together with my brother, Nathaniel Hardy, Durant, Mississippi. I in Chicago, Illinois, ambassador for Christ and the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I acknowledge you as Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the blood and death and your resurrection and your people of God in every place. And we're doing this for the glory of God and promotion of the kingdom of God. And we ask you to bless us and that he has ear to ear. Let them hear with us, saith the Lord, in these latter days. So that's a great, what you're saying, very great. Very important this time. You know, I often say this. We have more faith in our problems than we have in God to solve them.
Yeah.
I said sometimes we have more faith in our weakness than we have the power of God to deliver us. And so often people have great problems and they start exercising great unbelief, or rather great belief in the power of the problem. And because normally when we have a great problem, the first thing we say, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Amen.
So what does that mean? What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. So that means they're looking to themselves and they see the improbability,
yeah,
impossible that they can't accomplish because they're exercising belief in their weakness and their limitation. But oftentimes we as human beings, even Christians, often do this when they have a great challenge, a great problem before them. They start relying upon the human ability, the human mentality, and they look to the human faculty and say, oh my God, what? And so we have to come to a place, a certain place in Christ. So you're greatly great about us. Start activating our true faith of our heart, activating it continually till we get to a place where we're not shaken, we're not moved, we're established, and we overcome every obstacle standing and confessing and hold fast our faith. But we have to plant the word of God in our hearts, and we have to have the word of God planted several ways, by the preaching, teaching. But a lot of people think that all they have to do is hear the preaching and teaching alone. But then they forget the Bible tells us to study, meditate in the word day and night. So we have to do our part as far as hearing the preached word, the prophetic word, the taught word, the exalted word, the word in prayer. But we have to also ourselves individually build our collective complete faith. We also searching, studying, and meditating the scriptures day and night. Psalms 1 says, for all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, profitable. What is the profitable? For doctrine, for instruction, for strength, for pipe, for life, for direction. So we have a part to play in our personal, individual searching and planting the word of God and the revelation of Christ in our heart and our minds. So, good to hear. Are you in your new dwelling place, brother? Okay.
Yes, I am, brother. And just in case it sounds like I'm in a big place, yeah, I'm in this place. Amen.
It does sound like that.
Yeah, because actually, brother, this part of the house was actually built as a little room for me to have this broadcasting.
Okay. Well,
it's a
big space because it sounds like you are on the speaker for a way.
Well, it's the size of a little small room. And it's actually outside the house.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's outside. It's not in the house. It's outside the house.
Well, every little bit helps, I guess. Thank God for your moving and your entering to your new place. And I'm glad for you, and I rejoice with you. I hope it's to your accommodating, pleasing, and acceptability. I thank God for you that you got to a place that you're moving and a new location. Thank God for that. So thinking about what we've been talking in the past, Saturday, about the two important things, the fact the greatest truth and revelation in our Bible, the British Version Bible, is the two events about the Passover lamb, the atonement. And that's not all. That's not the end of the blood, the atonement, the Passover lamb, the sacrifice. We've been talking about the importance of the three prongs of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what it entails and in its completeness. I was thinking, we think that when Jesus became the Lamb of God as the atoning sacrifice, that the blood was, that's it. I don't need anything else. The blood is shed, I'm redeemed. Well, that's not the complete story. I'm afraid that's not complete. And a lot of people think it's only the blood of the sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus being the perfect Lamb of God, and that's it. That's all the gospel I don't need. I could make it with that. No, that's not quite the complete gospel. I know a lot of people want to stop there, but the Bible tells us if Jesus did not conquer death, the grave, and Satan, we would not live again unto God, or be raised or resurrected. So it is very important that the people know the power of the atonement, but they cannot stop there because our salvation would not be complete, our deliverance, to be raised in the glory of God and live in the glory kingdom unless Jesus conquered Satan, sin, death, and the grave. A lot of people miss that. They think, oh, I just stop at the blood of the atonement, that's it. But the atonement, the redemption is not complete. It is called the gospel of redemption. And a lot of people don't know the power of the resurrection of Christ, why that was key, very important. If he did not conquer death, did not conquer the grave, conquered Satan and took the keys of death and hell, that we still would be lost. So, well, do the scripture back that up? Well, yeah, it does. Have we got the sisters on yet? Nobody on but you and I. Okay.
Yeah.
Then, no one on yet, huh?
No one else on yet.
Okay. We got you and the vacant room, okay, all to ourselves. Okay. What comes to mind about building a house? It has four corners or four cornerstones. And you can build a part of the house, and you said, whoa, I almost got it. But you left out the two other cornerstones, and you have an incomplete house. You don't have a complete structure, do you? So you can have two cornerstones, but leave out one stone or the other stone, right? So
right. In
order to make the house to stand upon this rock, Jesus said, I build my people upon this rock, a revelation of truth. There is three important parts of the gospel: the redemption, Passover, and the resurrection, and the part about reconciliation to God. We talk about the blood and the atonement and the redemption power. What do we have in Peter? Peter says 1:18 something, right? We'll rehearse one scripture, and then we'll go on to the third important part of the gospel that people miss. Why all three of these prongs are important to make us a complete deliverance and salvation and to be risen with Christ. Three bonds, not the blood alone. If Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One, died and shed his blood, that alone would not give us eternal life with God. And most people don't know that. They think that the only thing Jesus had to be was the Lamb. No, that's not the only thing he had to do to completely redeem us unto the Father. Most people say, well, the blood, no, that's the beginning of the redemption, to redeem us from the curse of sin and death. But what's the other part? The resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Most people don't know, I repeat this again, if Jesus just died and shed his blood and became the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, we will, and did nothing else, we still would inherit eternal life and resurrection with him. Okay, let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 7. We just have to make this complete because the atonement is of his blood, and this the lamb is the first stage of our complete redemption. But people often stop there at the road and don't take it any farther. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 says something. Verse 7 says something very important. What do we see? What we got here? Let's go to the book, as they say. Let's go to the book on the rock. Let's go to the rock, brother. Let's go to the rock. Out of it comes the living waters. Let's go to rock, that which is written. That which is written. 1 Corinthians, the letter to the Corinthians. Paul had to explain this to the early church. That was part of his job, to uncover, unveil, and reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, just in case we think we can stop at his death and his shed blood, and that was enough, let's see what the Apostle Paul says about the necessity, the absolute necessity for us to live again and be resurrected and raised in his glory and to live with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At verse 13, because we can't read all this, you can read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. But I'm going to begin at verse 13. Verse 12. There was confusion in the early church, and Paul is unveiling this true gospel in its completeness. But if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? See, unless Jesus conquered death and the grave, we could not be raised again. Most people don't know that. We cannot enter the kingdom of God. Satan had the kingdom. You know, Satan had the keys to death and hell?
Yeah.
Revelation, you know, Satan still had the keys to death and hell?
Amen.
Even after the blood, something else had to take place. He had to conquer. Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, had to conquer the grave, death, and Satan, and to take the keys of death and hell from Satan. Wow. Let's see what the Corinthians says, 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If he be dead, raised not. If Christ didn't get up, we don't have no hope. Hope you don't know, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we have no hope of eternal resurrection and life. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sin. Yet in your sins. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Verse 18. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know why so many people miss and understand how we obtain the completeness of being raised with Christ and live again? Jesus had to go, as Ephesians 4 says, into the heart of the earth, where all of those believers from the Old Testament were waiting. They could not get into heaven. They couldn't go to on high until Jesus conquered something, because Satan had a legal right through the fall of Adam. Through the cursed nature of Adam, he had the power of death. And that's why death is the last enemy to be, and death is the last enemy to be conquered before we could live unto God in his kingdom and his glory. So, if we leave out the resurrection, we're still lost. But we can't leave out. That's why the devil attacks the bodily resurrection of Christ. That's why religion They attacked the body of resurrection. He did not conquer death. He did not grave all false religions. They conquer. They have to. Satan has to deceive people about the blood, the atonement, and the resurrection. All false religions. What? Why is this so important? Because we have to preach the full gospel of redemption and reconciliation. If you place in your faith and trust in something else, then this gospel that Paul preached or Jesus revealed, then you're leaving out something. Man, Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, had to conquer death and the grave and Satan, and we're still lost. We couldn't live unto God in eternity. Now, that's another important point that people don't understand yet. Do we understand this statement fully, what it really means in Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6? Without faith, now this is the third part, to the gospel of Christ. Do you know, brother, that the gospel of Christ has six principal parts? I say seven. They said six. I said seven. Hebrew chapter 1,
yeah.
The gospel has six principal parts. I say seven parts, but six does not represent the completeness of Christ. It has to be seven. The principle of pillar that we build upon, it says faith in God. Why is that? Why is faith in God the first pillar? Say you want to knock that out. When the principle of the gospel starts with faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why has the devil got to, in false religion and deception, take these three parts away from the greatest event that took place in the planet Earth? His death, resurrection, and how do we attain? How do we attain this reconciliation and justification? How do we lay hold on this? Well, we're going to talk about the first and the most important part of the gospel. It starts out with faith. Faith. There's three important words: faith, believing, trusting, and having confidence. Now, why are these three revelation truths in the Bible? Faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible. What do you think that it says about Nate in Hebrews chapter, without faith? What is he talking about? Without faith, Paul says, it is impossible to please God. If you leave that out, part of the gospel, and this unnecessary. Why is the believing so important?
Amen. Because the believing, that motivates our whole Christian walk. In Christ, we have to believe on what Jesus has provided in order for it to take the effect in our lives.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. Without faith, you know, well, what is this? What's the difference between this kind of faith? Because many people exercise the faith all over the world in certain things, natural things, false things, statues.
Right.
What's the difference between this kind of faith? This faith in the gospel. Now, this kind of faith is different from any other kind of faith. Now, people all over are exercising faith or confidence in something, in someone, in something. But this kind of faith has something to do with our eternal redemption and deliverance. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because the only way you can obtain, or receive, now look what it says. The first principle of the gospel, in that six parts or seven, is faith. Faith. You know that Lord, in everything he does, from the Genesis, he says, let there be, and it was because, let there be, and because, spoke the word of faith. Now listen. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, without faith, the just shall live by faith. They just shall walk by faith. And what else? There is no way you can operate or receive this complete redemption without acting a certain type of faith. Faith and the believing. Now, Romans 10 says something. Let's see. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. What did that say? Romans 10, verse 9. Let me see. Romans chapter 10 here. Let me get over here to Romans 10 and verse 9. The mystery man unfolded of the ages, the mystery that was hid in the Old Testament down unfolded by the Apostle Paul, making clear, called the gospel time. We call it the gospel time, the good news time. Hey, wow. Well, we had Romans chapter 10. Okay. Now, Romans 10 says something very important about this thing we call faith, trust, confidence in, having trust in something, or putting our faith in something in particular. Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now let's go to verse 8. Let's understand this kind of faith in what? But what it says, verse 8, the word is life, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now we're going to find out what it is. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart, believing that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And three things. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Shall believe in that heart that the Father raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart, where the heart gets to. For with the heart, man, believe it unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over rich unto all that call upon. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Verse 14, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Wow. Now, this believing part here. Why do you think that the believing faith part is essential? Now, you notice what it said in 1 John, 1 John 1 and 12, I think. As many as believe or receive him, they become the sons of God. As many as believe or receive him, they're called the son. They become the sons of God. So this is very important. We're going to talk about the faith being the faith that we put our confidence in, and our confidence and our confidence and our trust. The word trust, we often associate it with banking and with money or business or whatever agreement. But there is a paper or a covenant or an agreement often in the business world or any world called an agreement or a covenant, and we put our confidence in that covenant that we signed. Now, here is what you ask the average Christian, what are you trusting in for your redemption and salvation? How do you partake of it? Do you know what it says in Romans, how Abraham received the gospel before it actually was preached in the New Testament, and he exercised what was the gospel. It said Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's imputed to him. Well, how did he receive righteousness without works? How did Abraham become righteous without works? How did he receive it? How did he obtain it? Well, that's why the first pillar of the gospel in the Hebrew 1, it says faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith in God will not save. Now, this faith is because the Father gave to the Son to be the Redeemer and the Head. So you have to believe not just the Old Testament faith in the living God that he exists, that Jehovah lives, but you have to believe the promise. Now, what's the promise? If you don't believe in the promised one and the promised seed, the promised Redeemer, you're still lost. Well, I believe in God, brother. I believe in Father, the Jehovah God up there. And yeah, but you're not going to be saved by that. You're not going to be, you can't be redeemed by believing the Father. You can't believe in the Old Testament because the only faith and the only redemption is his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who shall believe on him? Notice what it says, to believe him with the heart. Oh, well, you know. So what do you think about that, brother? You want to add that something to that?
Well, brother, I agree with you 100%, and I'm grateful to the Lord that you are pinpointing this thing. I call it pinpointing because, like you said, a lot of people, you got people say, I believe in God, I believe in Jehovah, but they want to skip over Jesus. The devil won't let them just confess Jesus. And what you're speaking on is a lesson to all believers of what we're going to not only have to proclaim, but stand firmly on in these last days. Because, you know, in the school, brother, they got to a point. Remember when you did the prayer in your school before you started the work and you started mm-hmm. doing your homework, your classwork, and then they got mm-hmm. to a point where they said, when that lady came up with, let's take prayer out of the school. And they got to a point, they said, you know, we don't mind you saying God, but when you start saying Jesus Christ, we got a problem with that. You feel like you're violating the constitutional rights, of the people. So we want to X that out, and we ain't got a problem with you saying God. So, I said, brother, I'm glad you speaking on this because what you're showing Christians, and I'm saying to this to true believers, this is what we're going to have to stand on, not only proclaim, but stand firmly. I hope you guys hear what I'm saying, firmly. Not no passive standing, because our faith in Jesus Christ is going to be challenged in this last day.
Already. You got it right. You still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello?
Amen.
Oh, okay. Amen. All right. You're right. It's being challenged, and it's going to be challenged more and more. Go ahead. Now.
I agree with you, brother. I strongly agree with you. And speaking about the resurrection and the blood, and you're letting the people know the whole thing, okay? The whole thing.
Yeah. Yes. It's important that we build up on the solid rock. Jesus said upon, in Matthew 16, the solid rock, complete rock. Now, I know we got some good people, wonderful Christians, and they're putting their faith in many things, and they're putting their trust. But I'm telling you, what the Bible says, in order to inherit the kingdom and eternal life and the New Jerusalem, in order to inherit, to live and be raised and resurrected and in the glorious presence and the city, you have to put your trust in the immutable truth about the Christ and the Son of God being the pillar. And if you don't believe and putting your confidence, now a lot of people are good people putting their confidence, they're putting them in their organization, in their church, in their religion, in their goodness, in their niceness. A lot of people are trusting their goodness to get them into heaven, their niceness, their education. They're trusting that they can receive eternal life and redemption just by being nice and good and helping people, and they're wonderful people, educated people, the charity people. They're putting their trust in a lot of things. Oh, my church. Well, that's nice. I'm glad about your church organization. I hope it's dealing upon the solid rock completely. Well, we just believe that you do the best you can and do good, brother, and we just believe that you just be baptized with water. You know, people, you know, there are people who only believe in the water baptism. This is why they emphasize one part of the gospel. You know that people don't know the importance of the first principle about the believing part. Oh, I believe in water baptism. I do, too.
Amen.
You do, right? I believe in water baptism.
Amen.
But what about the pillar of the beginning of the believing part? Because your heart has to believe. You know, it said, if you don't believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Now, you can say, I've been baptized, I joined the church, and I joined the choir. Mm-hmm. But have you believed that Christ died and rose again, and your heart healed over shut with your heart?
Yeah.
Why did Jesus preach so much about the believing part? Why did he preach you all, go through his gospel? He talked about if thou believe. The believing part was given as an example in the Old Testament. The children of Israel did not enter the promised land. Why didn't they? They came out of Egypt. They came part of the way to their deliverance, but they didn't go all the way, did they?
Amen.
Why did they not enter in to his rest? It says in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, because they did not believe, their unbelief. Hallelujah. Now, they came out of Egypt, brother, and they came through the Red Sea. And they on their way to the complete deliverance of the promised land. But why did that not make it? Why did that not enter? Why did they not inherit it? Romans chapter 5 explained to us the new expense in the New Testament. What we, hallelujah. You know what Romans 5:1 says? And ask people, do you understand what Paul is unveiling to? In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, what is that? Romans 5:1. What is that? I'm going to go, let me see here. Oh, we are here. And then we're going to pray. Because it's a lot about why you have to first believe with your heart. You know, I love my beloved. Romans 5 says what? Romans 5:1 says what? Oh, that I love Romans 5. It just, it's so, unveils so much about what it means, what you put your faith in, and who you're trusting in. Do you know a lot of people are exercising faith, brother, all over the world at certain things? And some of them have a religion,
Amen.
They have their God. They're exercising. You know what my wonderful great people, Ismail and Esau, they're believing in Mecca, they're believing in Allah, the Muhammad, the Buddha. I mean, people are believing all kinds of things, you know.
Right.
Romans 5:1 says, Paul the apostle, the mystery man, the uncovering of the mysteries. Romans 5 says what? Verse 1. And I was thinking, you know that when God made man, he made one blood, man, all men by one blood out of all nations. You know that every human being come from Adam are made by one blood cell, one genetic blood cell. No matter what color you are, no matter what culture or language you are, you may be, well, I'm not part of the, I'm not got to do with the Chinese and the blacks, I don't have nothing to do with it. I want to tell you that in the human family, you came from Adam, and God created all, and he says he had made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. One blood. One genetic cell, one DNA cell. Listen, Romans, those people think they are special because of their skin color. But your skin color don't really make you special, brother. I got to knock some bubbles out here. I don't want to get in that say about people going by their skin color like they're special or superior. Oh, you are blinded and deceived. Your skin color may identify certain things in the earth, but that doesn't make you special in the sight of God. The devil has bamboozled nations from thinking they're superior because of some color of their skin. sad, so sad. How the devil can trick the whole world thinking most of them, oh, we're superior because we're superior. Look at my color, my eyes, I'm through, my skin is light, or I'm black, I'm brown, I'm red. All the devil has tricked and deceived many nations. Romans chapter 5 says this, verse 1. The New Testament Christians, therefore being justified by faith. It is the pillar of the Christian when it begins. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is he talking about being justified by faith? I see that about sisters are on tonight. They must have didn't know, huh?
Well, yeah, they pretty much know it's sad and Sunday, so I don't know.
Okay, that's all good. I know people got business, they got families, the loved ones, they got duties on earth. I understand, boys, busy down here, ain't it? So a lot of busy going on down in the earth, man.
Well, yeah, and I don't know. Maybe I'm going to check on them tomorrow. I don't know if they're thinking I'm still moving or what, so I don't know.
Yeah, that may be. I don't know. But, you know, people got to have all kind of, responsibility. We got, man, so much stuff in the earth. Some things that you have to take care of in your family. It's just job, business, coaches going. Anyway. Being justified by faith. I asked a woman, a sister one time who I was witnessing, and she said, if you don't be baptized in Jesus' name, you can't be saved. Okay. You believe that? I said, yeah, I believe baptism in Jesus' name. Yeah, I believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Well, you know, you don't be baptized in Jesus' name, and if you don't speak in tongues, you can't be saved. I said, oh, okay. I said, could you show me that in Scripture? Enlighten me a little bit on that. Because, you know, I don't understand certain things. Oh, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Anybody not baptized in Jesus' name? You know, she was an apostolic lady. And I respect her as a Christian, a believer. You got to be speaking tongues. I said, could you show me? I said, I want you to make me understand this. Just one scripture. Because I can back it up with four other scriptures. But I just want you to understand, what does it mean? Five said, being justified by faith. And then 5 and 8 said, being justified by his blood. I said, could you explain that to me? That how, if you say, I have to be baptized in Jesus' name or speak in tongues, what does it mean when it says in the gospel? Now, this is not my teaching. Paul says in Romans 5 and 8, being justified by faith. And then he says, to clarify, being justified through his blood or his atonement, we inherit life. I said, can you explain it to me? I said, no, I just want you to explain it to me. I know you said, if I don't be baptized in Jesus' name, and I don't speak in tongues, you know, I understand that. Do I believe in baptism in Jesus? I said, yeah. Do you believe in speaking tongues in the Holy Ghost, as the scripture says? Yes, I believe in it. But how are you justified before God? Well, I said, no. You read it for yourself. I didn't make it up. Explain it to me. Anyway, I thought, you know, a lot of times people misunderstand. They mean good and they're with it. And I told her, I believe in water baptism. It's part of the gospel. But what must I put my trust in? Is it the water or the blood? Now, which one is it? Now, I mean, I believe in all of the parts of the gospel, but what justifies me before God? What justified Abraham when he was called righteous before God? How did he obtain it? How did he obtain righteousness? Well, we'll go further on that. On our next Saturday, tomorrow night, we'll go further. How is a man justified according what the gospel that Peter and Paul explained more clearly and the other apostles. Being justified. And he used this word justified because a lot of people That's a legal term, a judicial term called being justified. Hallelujah. And Paul used that a lot in the fifth chapter, explaining how we are made righteous before God, how to receive life. That's why the first pillar of the gospel is faith. The meaning of it is believing, putting your trust in something that's immutable, acceptable before God. What does God accept? What does the Father accept? He accepts what his Son, the Christ, did, his offering and his resurrection, and what you're trusting in and confessing in your mouth and believing in your heart and revealing the life. By the way, I was just looking at something, brother. A few minutes ago, I was thinking about, I ran, when I was in high school, I ran track. And I was looking at a young lady that I ran track with at one of our meets. And her name was, she was in sophomore, and I guess, I don't know whether I was in sophomore or senior year. But her name was Willie White. And she was 16 years old and went to high school in Greenwood, Mississippi. And I was in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and we had a track meet, and she was in there. And she was about 16 then. I guess I was about the same age. And I was looking at her life, that at 16 years old, she went to the Olympics out of high school. She was the first black woman, the broad jump, the long jump. And she won at 16 years old, she said, I was tired of picking cotton in them fields, and I wanted to get out of the Delta, and I used sports, my talent, to get me out of them cotton fields. So she used and put her effort and her faith and her talent to get her out of the cotton field. Willie White, I ran track with her one meet when I was in high school, and the meet was in Yazoo, Mississippi, and my school was Vicksburg, Mississippi, Bowman High, and her school was Broad Street in Greenwood. And at 16 years old, we went to the meet. She not only went to the Olympic out of high school and set the record in the Olympic at 16 years old. Most of you don't know about her. And she won a silver medal in the 4x100. She won, six or seven or eight Olympic meets. She was amazing. And her goal was to get out of the Delta of picking cotton since she was 10 years old. It was something that she achieved. But what got her from one place to another? Where she achieved? She moved to Chicago in 1960-something like that. When I found about her, I was trying to look up and trying to where she was. She was in Chicago. She was working for Mary Daly. And she died in 1967, age of 67 of cancer. But I remember her. I was running against her in her school and meet, and she had stepped on a nail in her feet. And she had her feet wrapped up because she had stuck on a nail. And even with her one foot had a nail stuck that had been stuck in it, she beat everybody almost on one leg.
Wow.
I was there because I was in the meet. High school was in that meet with her, and even her foot all wrapped up and it stuck on a nail, and it was asking her, my coach was talking to her, asking what happened. She had her feet all wrapped up. She still was going to run. She beat everybody. She's still running by everybody out. So don't
wow.
give up, people. Don't give up, people. Persevere in Christ. If he be for you, then surely, hallelujah, if Jesus Christ, the Christ, build your house on the rock. Tell the devil, today I'm building my life on what the rock says, and I'm talking to you, devil, because you are a liar and a deceiver, and you're a trickster, and you're trying to trick me out of my inheritance. So I say to the world, in darkness and confusion, any complexity problems and war looming over us and Armageddon pushing forward, Let's build our life on the rock of Christ, Hikoshata. On the rock that the water, when Moses smoked that rock in the Old Testament, he was talking about that we're going to have to drink out the water of the rock. When he smoked that rock was telling us about the Christ that was coming for to build our lives on. Now, thank God for Jesus the Christ today. You won't have to. So we've got a couple of minutes left. We got about three minutes left,
bro.
Okay, you want to use one minute, and I'll use the closing minute.
Amen, brother. And I want to thank the Lord for this word, this message you've been giving. And I'm grateful that you're going to continue it on tomorrow, because I know that it is a message that needs to be heard. And I know it is a message that as believers, we need to hear it and know what we're going to have to stand on. And I know people have heard me say this a few times, but I'm really telling you that we're going to have to really stand on this. And I know some of the Christians, we've been trying to fly high and we think it's the bed of roses time, but I'm telling you, I mean, from what the Lord Jesus have let me see, the center core message, we're going to have to stand on. Okay, right now, like my brother's telling you, they're saying everything against Jesus now. So that's what I wanted to say. Amen.
Amen. As we close, we hope and pray that someone has been illuminated or helped some light of truth, of scripture, of the gospel of deliverance and hope and redemption and justification may add to you wherever you are in the world. There is hope because there is a living Christ. We do not serve a God of religions that are dead. We don't have to call up and talk to the dead in nuclear minds. We have a living Christ. People are going to sorcerers and witches and calling up the dead, talking to dead people and dead this. But we don't serve. We don't have to call up no dead God, brother, mate. We have a living Christ at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So I'm so glad. I'm not trying to put these people down because a lot of these people are honest and they have been brought up and taught all the different beliefs in brother nations. But I'm letting you know that Jesus knows where you are and he knows how to enlighten you and he knows how to bring your deliverance and your hope from all of the things that are not according to truth or righteousness. And I look at the million beings of Islam who are calling on a dead, dead prophet, a dead demigod. And I could be one of those, and you could be one of those. So God loves you and cares about those people. And I want you to know that the gospel of redemption and reconciliation and deliverance is for you. And Jesus Christ is the rock of your deliverance and your only redeemer and hope. So the Lord heal you and deliver you. And save to the audible and break every yoke, move every scale of darkness, and convict your heart that he's mighty to save. His name is Yeshua Mashiach in the Hebrew, Jesus Christ in the English. We love you now. Be blessed. Today is your day.
Amen. And we thank God for all of you that have been listening. As my brother said, don't forget tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m., we will come once again with the full gospel message for my brother here as he continue on in the message that the Lord has given him to give unto all of those that are hearing. So we thank God for all of you that have been listening tonight. As for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nathaniel. We love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen.